Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cable Show with PLR. This is PLR, and I hope you are ready to roll for another week. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of Thanksgiving food. After Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a little bit today, I am ready for just about anything that wasn't made on Thursday. There's only so many ways you can recycle this stuff. So you got to start anew on a Monday. I didn't this morning, but for dinner, we got to do this all over again. We got to do something different. But I hope you had a safe Thanksgiving. Like I said, most important thing, I hope you had a safe Thanksgiving. If you had a chance to see your family, hopefully that went well. If you did it via Zoom, WebEx, phone, didn't get the chance, hopefully everyone in yours stayed safe as well. We got a loaded show today. Things are back swinging full speed. We're going to talk the Cards. We got some sound. Talk the Bears. We got some sound. Talk some Jets. Adam Gase is a liar. And I'm going to prove it to you. The Broncos had no QB. They called me. Finish that later. Lions made a change. Derrick Henry is not a running back. He's a defensive end. Talk about that. NBA stuff. Got sounds from the Suns. Phoenix Suns general manager James Jones spoke to us probably about an hour and a half ago. So I have sounds from that. There were some fights this weekend. That's all I'm going to say. Sarah Fuller made history. Sun Devils still ranked basketball. And what the hell is the Big Ten doing? And why do we keep acting like Jim Harbaugh, or let me rephrase this, Michigan is this powerhouse of a college football team and has history when they're not? We'll get into all that. I'm going to take a few calls as well right here on the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School and Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member, get a locker that backs them to a humidor and access to the members' lounge. Tons of TVs in there. Tons of TVs everywhere at Maduro's, but tons of TVs in there as well. Couches, everything, relaxers. Great place to sit there and watch. They have all the tickets. So check out all your games, your favorite sports teams. Cannot be missed at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you can't get down there, go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Order online. Same exact cigar, same exact selection. Order early enough, and they go out the same day. All that can be done at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. New week. Everything going on, so much going on in sports. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for joining me this Monday, the Monday after the turkey feast. So I guess I can say this now before I take a couple calls. If you have decorations, trees, house, whatever, now is the time to put it up. I know a lot of people put theirs up before Halloween. Don't quite understand that one. But anyway, not going to get sidetracked. Too much stuff. Doubt if I get it all in today. Some of it may get pushed up tomorrow. Be that as it may. Caller on hold. Thank you for holding. Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, tell me how you can play a game, though, without having quarterbacks. That's what I want to know, first of all. referring to Denver yesterday.
I thought you were talking about the Bears. I was going to say, I'm not going to talk about that right now.
That's another breed right there. Yeah. And the Bears had so much potential and all that. Now they're just folded up and crash and burning. My brothers don't like it at all.
Yeah, he crashed, burned, did it all. Anyway, not even going to get in there. But you know what? Good for Denver. Good for the NFL. They told them,
right.
Look, these are the rules. And all these people talking about, well, look at the exception they made for Baltimore because they have a superstar quarterback. No, they did that because there's so many players that were out and Pittsburgh had nowhere to put another game because they already took their bye week from them earlier this year. So, no, Denver was not smart enough not to keep their quarterback separated. They decided to let them all
right.
stretch together, which is dumb as hell anyway. So
yes.
they got what they deserved. I have no sympathy for that. I really don't.
Right. I mean, you know, if you broke the rules, you know, by not following, you know, the protocols, then you deserve to get punished for it.
Yeah, I'm not crying two tears for them. Their quarterback completed one out of his nine passes. Let me rephrase that one more time. One out of his nine passes to no effect. It was a 13-yard pass, and he this game was a joke. It was a joke of a game. I think we knew going in it was going to be a joke of a game. And any other world, they could have forfeited that game and just moved on. And that's the one thing that I would say competitively, you never want to give up, obviously. You always want to go there and compete. But there's one position in football that you just can't play without. And I know I made a joke about the Bears not having a quarterback, but if the Denver Broncos legitimately had no quarterback and the only quarterback they had played quarterback at Wake Forest for 2 years, and that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, legitimately no fans, that's a game I think the Broncos could forfeit and find a way to still get the Saints paid because they're fortunate no one came away hurt, seriously hurt in that game. I think it's good that the NFL made them play, but then at the same time, I think Denver should have threw the white towel and said, hey, is there a way we can allow New Orleans to still get paid and we not play because there's no way we're going to be able to compete? I mean, their only scores came on a 58-yard field goal. So there's
– not bad.
I think there's a way to have done both. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Well, on to more brighter news this week – it looks like Detroit's going to have a new coach because they finally fired at Matt Patricia. Thank God.
Yeah, that guy should have been shown the door a long,
exactly.
long time ago. Here's what makes it so bad. The coach before him was a good coach, and you let him go. You let Caldwell go to bring in Matt Patricia. Here's the problem, Lou. Everyone thinks that just because you coached for Belichick, you're going to get Belichick.
No. That's a misconception.
That's the problem. And the guys, again, let me say this, the guys that have coached under Belichick that have done well are the guys that do their best, or I shouldn't say that, the guys that just be themselves and don't try to be Belichick. And we see that down in Tennessee. We see that down in Miami. Where those guys, those head coaches, are just being themselves, coaching the way that they would coach. But we've seen it before with Belichick guys. They go get a job, and they try to be Belichick. And you can't do that. There's only one of those. So guys flame out. There's reports that he lost this team 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's... How do you recover from that?
Not very well.
I mean, we're not talking about an organization that has a long history of winning that is trying to get back to where they were. We're talking about a team that once let Wayne Font coach for a long time, that let Matt Millen coach longer than he should. We're talking about this team. We're talking about a team that rolled out Eric Hipple as a starting quarterback. And you couldn't even live up to that? You had to go. So pathetic. And you know what's funny, Lou? They have a real quarterback.
Yes.
Unlike a lot of teams that suck, they have a real quarterback. Matt Stafford is a real quarterback. They have a couple good wide receivers. They have a couple good running backs. They have an offensive line that can do just enough, but they have no philosophy, no direction, no anything, and you bring in a defensive guy, and their defense sucks. I don't get it.
You can't win them all.
But you can win some.
Yes.
A couple.
Yes, you could.
One here and there. But yeah, he's gone.
Gone.
No more backward ball caps. Matt Patricia is out.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
my colleague
Detroit
in Michigan couldn't be happier.
I tell you, I don't. The Bears and the Packers are a rivalry. Hate each other.
Yes.
The Minnesota fans can't stand the Packers. I don't think Packer fans feel the same way about Minnesota to that level. The Packers and the Bears are mutual hatred. And then the Bears and Viking fans, we jab at each other, rivalries. But no one in that division gives a crap about the Lions because they suck every year.
Yeah, I know. You wonder how they stay in business, though.
It's football, Lou. That's how they stay in business.
I know, but who wants to go see a loser every week?
I don't know. You're the one that lives in New York. Tell me how the Knicks do it.
Very funny. Very funny. yeah, but they've been losing since 1950. But Detroit's been losing since the 50s. They haven't done anything since much. You get the idea.
I know.
But anyway, you know, on the more serious news, though, Indiana had a tough break when they lost their star quarterback. Oh, boy. 20 ACL.
Yeah, that's sad. That young man was bawling his butt out. I think his last name is pronounced right, Pick Six.
Yes, something like that.
Out. Just real bad news for them and for their season and for what they've done so far this year. It was really a too bad weekend for the Big Ten. That kid hurt himself and he's out. And then just from a fan perspective, if you're a Northwestern fan, they really legitimately had a shot and they blew a game to Michigan State. So now they're out of contention and running for a playoff spot. So a lot of stuff going on there in the Big Ten this week.
Yeah. Started seeing go down like that.
Yeah, isn't it weird? I mean, when was the last time we talked Indiana football?
Since the 60s?
It's been a while. I think they had a guy, last name was Thompson. I'm going into the old man Rolodex. I think he was drafted by the Cardinals running back that was up for a Heisman. Did not win the Heisman, but he was up for a Heisman. I want to say that was 87, 90, somewhere in there. And I think that's the last time we really talked Indiana football. But I hope the kid is fine. You know, now, if I'm not mistaken, everyone automatically gets another year because of this year, correct?
I think that's the case, yes.
Yeah, I think everybody gets a year. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought. Everyone gets another year. So if that's the case, you know, hopefully then he could come back and keep going because that's just really too bad. That's just too bad.
And the 49ers will have a home to play for 2 weeks, 13th and 14th, as California is under a state has a temporary ban on all contact sports at all levels. Ugh.
Yeah, they're coming here.
Yeah, lucky you.
Yeah, they're going to play at, you know, where the Cardinals play. That's going to be pretty cool, I think, actually.
Yeah, well,
That's happened before, though. Other team, I forget what team it was.
True.
They played at State Farm Stadium before when something happened. I think it was the Raiders. I could be wrong, but I think it was the Raiders once played a home game here when something happened to their arena or their stadium. I'm almost positive it was them. Arizona always gets to be the second home for California teams when things go wrong. Yep. Anthony Thompson. That was going to bug me. He was from Indiana. He was the number one Cardinal pick back in 1990. There you go. I went to the Annals, and I found that name. That was the last time we talked Indiana football. But I'm late for a commercial, my friend. Got to get jumping to that. Got to pay the bills.
Okay. All right.
Good talking
to you. Can we talk again?
Yes, sir. Have a good day, Lou. Thank you. Always good to get caught up with my man. Lou, late for break. We'll be right back. Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me the Monday after Thanksgiving. Let me ask, did anyone weigh themselves before Thursday and then weigh themselves again on Monday? I didn't. I don't need to. I'm allergic to scales. But I think next year, everyone should do that. They should weigh themselves that, like, Wednesday night before they eat anything that has to do with Thanksgiving. And then they should weigh themselves again right after, on that Monday afternoon, and just kind of get a grip of how much weight they put on just from eating. Because over Thanksgiving, you just eat for no rhyme, no reason. You just plow it in. Anyway, like I said, welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Always remember, you catch us. If you miss any part of the show, you can catch us on Casual Sports Radio Network, 3 o'clock replay. Download the app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Make sure at 1 o'clock, listening live. Again, you get us on KSRN. Also, go to sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Click that Listen Live button, and there we are, BTR as well. So, if you click that button anytime other than 1 o'clock, you'll get a plethora of our shows. Choose one that you never listened to. Choose one that you liked a lot. Listen to it again. Either way, definitely check us out here on The Cave Show with PLR. So this is what happens. I get a little bit of time on my hands, about 20 seconds, and I start getting sidetracked. And I look at some of the Cardinals drafts, some of their draft picks over the last few years, And I'm going to tell you, there's years where they just didn't draft well. And I think if you look back on teams that are good a lot, the drafts are really good. Like, I'm looking at the Cardinals draft from 2007. And I want to know if any of these gentlemen stand out to you. Levi Brown, Alan Branch, Buster Davis, Steve Breston. I remember him, though. And Ben Patrick. Like, how do you get better when that's 1 year? And you've had other years, you know, where they drafted Rogers Cromartie, Calais Campbell, early Doucette, so, and he didn't last as long as I thought he would. Tim Hightower, again, guys that had a cup of coffee. But then you look at some of these other picks, and I'm going to go to 2009. Beanie Wells, Cody Brown, Rashad Johnson, Greg Toler, cup of coffee, Herman Johnson, Will Davis, Rod Stevens Howling, Howl at the Moon, and Trevor Canfield. I mean, and then you follow that up the very next year with Dan Williams, Darryl Washington, Andre Roberts, O'Brien Schofield, John Skelton. I mean, I'm just looking at it. I'm like, wow, there's years where they hit, and then there's years where they just really did nothing. And when I tell you really did nothing, you have Ryan Williams selected number two in 2011. In the second round in 2011. I don't know. I don't even remember the guy. I could even tell you what jersey he wore. Couldn't even tell you. And then you have other drafts, and I know one of these people, if you go to 2012, know Bobby Massey for sure. Definitely know Jamel Fleming, a friend, and you've heard him on the show before. And those are guys that had good careers. But then you also get, like, Michael Floyd. So I'm looking at just some of these drafts and wondering, where are these guys? Look at the Cardinals picks from 2014. And I was there when they introduced their number one pick, Deion Buchanan, when they introduced Buck to everyone. And this is this entire draft class of 2014. Deion Buchanan, Troy Nichols, Kareem Martin, John Brown, Logan Thomas, Ed Stinson, and Walt Powell. Okay, on the count of three, this is 2014, 6 years ago. Point to the one that's still a Cardinal. Quick, go. No, point to him. Not a one. Not a one. And I'm not really picking on this team, but let's even go to 2016. Robert Kendiche, Brandon Williams, Evan Bohm, Marquis Christian, Cole Toner, Harlan Miller. Which one of those guys were they building on? That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't take a lot to look and see where you are based on how you drafted and how you developed. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. This weekend, though, let's talk the Cardinals this weekend. Had a hard time in New England. Couldn't really get anything going. I am convinced that Kyler Murray was hurt more than what we believe. I really do. Kyler Murray ran for 31 yards. They ended up losing by three. Zane Gonzalez, ASU, missed a kick, which would have helped a lot given the Cards a lead. Nick Folk came back, hit his kick, and that's how the Patriots ended up winning the game. A lot of stuff to unpack with that loss. And like I said, I think a lot of it centers on Kyler Murray and his shoulder. He just didn't look right. And I don't think the Cardinals had the same commitment to the run that they would have had if he was healthy, being part of the game. But I also think you have to have plan B. And I think because he started the week with the banged up shoulder and they were looking for it to get better as opposed to him hurting his shoulder late in the week in practice, I think that was enough time for Cliff to come up with plan B. And I don't think he really had a plan B. I think it was, let's just throw the ball all over the yard when we don't have Kyler here to run the offense the way we want to run the offense. Which is also kind of dangerous in itself because now you have him susceptible to hits from just sitting in a pocket trying to become a gunner. And we see how teams are struggling when all you do is sit back and fire the ball all over the yard. Could never get anything going. Missed out on a couple fourth down plays. And I think the Cardinals are just, maybe I'm going to sound like a homer when I say this. I just think the Cardinals are better than what they played as a group. I definitely think they have more talent than the Patriots, especially if you go offense to offense. Maybe on defense, the Patriots have a couple more guys. Maybe. But I'll tell you what. I like it when you can line up on a fourth down play and you can try to run the ball in. Now, here's where I'm confused with the NFL nowadays. And I'll keep going back to this. If you are running, needing a yard, and the Cardinals do not have a quarterback sneak in their playbook. So let me go ahead and get that out here. A lot of people are saying, well, why didn't he just run the ball, sneak it in with Kyler Murray? They don't have a quarterback sneak play. So it's either going to be Murray on the edge or a handoff up the middle or putting the running back on the edge. But it's not going to be Kyler Murray sticking his head down and plowing behind center and guard. That's not going to happen, not as of now, because they don't have the play. But back to what I was saying before, I like the fact that they tried to run the ball man-on-man, helmet-on-helmet, your defensive line against my offensive line. But here's where I get confused with the NFL. You can't carry one fullback on your roster. You don't think it's worth it to have that one more guy to block and lead in for a running back? Running the pistol on the goal line or running a shotgun on the goal line to run a running play, I just don't think that makes sense. I really don't. So I think that hurt a lot when they didn't make the fourth down at the end of the half because they were getting the ball back. So if they get that seven, they go into halftime with the lead. And that changes, I think, the whole complexity of the game. Cliff talked about this game. Kickers got to make kicks. That's me saying it. Those are my words, not his. But here's Cliff on kicker missing. Gonzo, ASU, missing kicks.
He's been good a lot of the time. Obviously, there's a couple kicks that we'd like to have back, but I think he's kicked the ball well for us over the last two seasons. We got to be able to come up with that. So we'll just keep working.
See, when Cliff speaks, I don't know if Cliff is saying, yeah, he's made some kicks for us. He's done a good job. We're good. Or, yeah, he's made some kicks. We're going to reevaluate what's going on with this guy. You can never tell, but he's got to make that kick. And if I were the Cardinals, I'd bring in someone this week just to show him that you got to make that kick. And we're not going to mess around with this. But they could tell the running game. And like I said, Cliff keeps it short. He really does. He doesn't go on a lot, but he talked about them being able to kind of key in on a run.
They definitely were keyed in on the, you know, him running it. Thought he made good decisions when to run it and was efficient in that. So I'd say that would be about it.
He also said how the Patriots had a good game plan going into the game.
Yeah, I think New England had a good plan. I think, once again, we had some opportunities and didn't take advantage of it, didn't have a ton of possessions, so needed to maximize the ones we did have and weren't able to do that.
And plain and simple, the Cardinals just didn't do enough.
Didn't do enough because we didn't win it. Got to give them credit. They made some big plays at the end, and we didn't.
So here's the situation. The Cardinals are 6-5. And for a team that a couple weeks ago, things seemed to be just going perfect after that Hail Mary pass against Seattle. Everything seemed to fall just right. But then you turn around and you lose to Miami. You do beat Buffalo, and you seem like, oh, well, we're right at the ship. Miami was Miami. But then you go up to Seattle and lose. You go out to New England and lose. And now you got the Rams. 9-7 could possibly get you in the playoffs. Let's just be honest. Let's be real. 10-6 will get you in the playoffs. They've got one more game, technically, that they can lose and still reach that plateau of 10-6. They've got the Rams this week at home, travel to New York for a team that's playing a lot better, then get Philly at home, get San Fran at home, who just beat the Rams, and then they close out in L.A. against the Rams. So they've got to go 4 out of their next 5. I would think to guarantee themselves a playoff slot and not do one of those, well, we need this person to lose and this team to win and that person to do this, to control their own destiny, I believe they have to go 4 out of 5. And so when you look at the schedule, you say, okay, what game will they probably lose? Well, I think they can beat the Rams at home. The Rams are a weird team in that they're very good, but they're very beatable good. Let me repeat that. They're very good, but they're very beatable good. That's a team that you can get. The Giants is a team that they should definitely beat. And Philadelphia is just a mess. We'll see that tonight. They've got the most overrated freaking quarterback. Yeah, I'm going to tell the truth about Carson Wentz if nobody else wants to. I'm going to tell you the truth. He's overrated as hell. Then they get San Francisco. And I think a lot of that game will depend on where San Francisco is. If they're still high in the shot to make the playoff, I think the game gets more difficult. If they're out of the playoffs with all the injuries they've had, I think they're going to stop playing key guys. And then, of course, they close with the Rams, and it all depends on where the Rams are. If the Rams have won a division, they're locked in, they can't go up or down in their seeding, then I think that becomes an easier game, especially in the world of COVID. But if the Rams are battling for a playoff spot, playoff seeding, anything like that, then I think that all changes and it becomes more difficult. So a lot depends on a lot. I guess that's just really the simple way to play it when it comes with the Cardinals with the rest of the year. But I do know this, if Kyler Murray is not healthy, it gets really difficult. Really difficult. Because he is the engine that makes it go on offense. Now, they did play this game without Larry Fitzgerald. And like I said, Andy Isabella had his shot. And I've been caping up for Andy Isabella. And there were times where he looked lost, lost, lost. So they got to figure out what they're going to do with him. I think Larry would have been great on a couple of those short yardage plays. I think it was Earl Burnett that said, hey, that's the way you use him at this stage. Get him in touches where he's literally catching the ball 7-8 yards down the field, turning. He knows where yardsticks are. Still can do all that. So I think maybe that part of the game was missing for the Cardinals. But they've just got to do better than what they did if they're going to be a playoff team. I think at times the Cardinals play based on the team that they're playing. When you look up and you're losing to Detroit and you're losing to Carolina, but you're beating Buffalo and you're beating Seattle, which is good. And a lot of people look at this and they go, hey, well, they're slowly making those steps. I don't think the Cardinals should be 6-5. I really don't. I think the Cardinals should be 8-3. Let me rephrase that. I think they should be 9-2. I think the only two legitimate games that they should have lost this year, that they did lose, is Miami and Seattle. Every other game that they lost should have been a win. And all that is part of turning that corner with this team and getting them to the next level, which I believe they will do. Still got a lot of show. I told you, I do it all the time on Monday. I fixed that play. You know what I did? I fixed the Thanksgiving play. Turkey on. I put the dressing on. Not stuffing. I put the dressing on. Had some cabbage over there. A little bit of cornbread. Had the ham on there. Had all that stuff on the plate. And I knew doggone well that when I fixed this plate, I couldn't eat all that. But I fixed it all. And that's what I did with this show today. I put together this show that's obese. But I got Jenny Craig time. So some of this is going to have to trail till tomorrow. Do apologize for that. But you know what? Still getting it to you. And there's still football to be played. I'm going to jump out for a minute. We'll come right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk my favorite dude in the world. The one, the only, Adam Gase. And we'll do that. We jump back. It's the Gase Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is the Monday after Thanksgiving, and we are here to get you filled in. But you know what, though? Whenever Phyllis Hyman brings you in, let's let this rock for a second. All right, Young Bucks. For all you Young Bucks that listen to the show, I had to hit you with that for a minute. The voice, when those pipes are going, it just gets you moving. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're checking us out on social media. Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Website is sportscave.com. All caves are with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. See, that's how you know you're having, and I keep going back to Thanksgiving. That's when you know you're having a grown folks Thanksgiving. When the food's coming in, and in the background you have Phyllis Hyman, you have the OJs, you have all that stuff. That takes you back. When you got the hip-hop blasting, nothing's wrong with it. I like my hip and my hop. But when you got that old school going on, you know, when you got your parents or your grandparents and that music's playing in the background, that's when you know the food's going to be real. Nothing's going to be catered. Everything's going to be made, and everything's going to be tasty. So I promised it to you, and I'm going to give it to you. So the Jets went out, and so I'm going to tell you this. I honestly believe this was the week the Jets recovered. And I said I wouldn't be surprised if they won. Wouldn't be surprised. After watching this game, I don't think the Jets could beat each other in a scrimmage. I think it ended in a 0-0 tie. I think the defense will give up a bomb and get the ball on the one, and then they'll stop the offense four times in a row. I just have no confidence in this team anymore, and I have absolutely no confidence in their head coach. And when you listen to this guy, either he is a walking idiot or he just doesn't get what's happening around him. And he lies, and you can call him out on that lie. And I'll get to that sound in a second. But you could ask him simple things, and he never knows the answer. Sam Darnold throwing off the wrong foot, backpedaling, throwing in a coverage, throwing lobs, throwing bad passes. And when you ask his coach, hey, this dude's in his third year, should he know better? This is the dumb crap you get.
You know, sometimes, I mean, this being his first game back, I think he's trying to make something happen. You know, I'm sure he's frustrated when it feels like we're not moving the ball and he's trying to make some plays, and especially when 82 is somewhere in the picture. You know, he's trying to make it happen, make something happen.
So coaches say throw into double coverage or throw off the wrong foot or let's do this or let's do that. Now, this is the second time they've lost to Miami. The only difference is they were managed to scratch across 3 points this time. But they had a shot. They just didn't take advantage of it.
On the top defenses. I mean, they're tough. Those corners are tough. You know, they do a good job mixing up their fronts and their defenses. We didn't take advantage of any opportunities. When we had guys open, you know, we didn't hit them. When we made some good throws, you know, we didn't finish the play. It's just they're a tough defense to go to. You have very, very small window of error.
And if there is a small window of error, if there's a chance for there to be an error, for there to be a mistake, you know who's going to make that mistake, right? You know who's going to find a way to make that mistake? Adam Gates. I mean, honestly, stop for a second. Listen to this nonsense.
Be concerned about anything with that. I can control one thing, and that's making sure I come to work every day and try to do the best I can with our guys and put them in the right position and, you know, try to help them get better.
Think about what he said. Now, I want you to listen. Don't listen to what he said. Listen to what he's saying. There's a difference.
I'm concerned about anything with that. I can control one thing, and that's making sure I come to work every day and try to do the best I can with our guys and put them in the right position and, you know, try to help them get better.
I come in and try to do the best I can with our guys. I come in and try to do the best I can with what I got. And I honestly believe that's what's running through his mind, and he stopped himself. This team is a train wreck. He is a train wreck. That's the same answer he's been given for 12 weeks, and nothing's changed. And when you ask him, are guys still playing hard for you, he lies and says,
all our guys
are
battling. They try to get better every day. I mean, it's frustrating because I feel like we're right there. We got to make one or two plays, and especially this last game, it's right there for us. You know, and there's been multiple games like that, and you know, it's frustrating for myself, all the players. I know the fans, everybody's frustrated. You know, we're trying to find ways to get it right. I mean, we play tough teams, and we got to find a way to beat them.
I hate when people say that. I'm not good at excuses. Of course you play tough teams. Everybody plays tough teams. You know who else has played Miami this year? I'll give you the other six teams that lost to them. It's like when a team plays in cold weather and they go, Oh, it was cold out there. One side of the field wasn't warm and the other side was cold. Everyone played in the same elements. Everyone had the same opportunity to make the same mistakes. But he's lost his team, and he's lost the trust of the media because you can't trust him. And I apologize to the reporter whose name I did not get in the soundbite. So I do apologize because, unlike a lot of people, I believe in giving credit to other people when their voices are heard, or at least the organization they're coming from. So I apologize. But listen to him lying about play calling.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell.
Okay, I apologize. The sound didn't come through. I'm going to take 38 seconds of your life again. And I couldn't stop laughing. Listen to this. Listen to this. Really, really, really. Listen to this.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
Okay. The reporter, who, again, I apologize because I love giving credit to the people whose name appear on sound, because their work deserves to be recognized. So I apologize that I did not get the name of the reporter as that. But he asked the perfect question. He said, if you call the three plays, what happens if you get another play? Did you notice that Adam Gase didn't answer that? It's like he already knows they're not going to get a fourth play. Because it's going to be two plays and a putt. That was honestly the funniest thing I think I've heard. Especially when the reporter hit him with, I looked down there at the offensive coordinator, and he was just standing there. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm really trying not to laugh at this. And I'm really trying not to make this be the focal point of this show today. But I am. But listen to this. I'm taking another 38 seconds for it. Hell, you're giving me 60 minutes. I'm sorry. This is like when you watch a movie and you see something funny, so you rewind it back to that part again, or you see something that you couldn't believe that you saw, so you rewind it back to that part again. I am rewinding it back one more time, and I don't even want to cut it because it's so good all the way through. I am keeping this because once Adam Gase is out of New York, this 38 seconds will surmise everything. It'll surmise more than this.
I mean, it's either.
It will surmise more than this. If this doesn't tell you that this guy should not only not be the head coach of the Jets, but he should not be a head football coach on any pro team ever. Nothing wrong. You ready? Here we go again.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dal was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
He couldn't even finish the question. He said, what happened? Because he knows they don't get four plays. So he even stopped himself from asking the question. He said, what if there's more than three? Anyway, we were looking at him like his mind clicked and said, they're not going to get four plays. What the hell am I going to ask that question for? Why even finish it? And then if you even go a couple seconds before that, when the other reporter said, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. He said, we were watching the whole game, and he was just standing there. Really stop and think about that. A reporter said, we watched him the whole game, and he was just standing there. And the head coach's response was, this stuff is easy. You're 0-11. You haven't won a game all year. You haven't been competitive all year. You scored the same amount of points as the Denver Broncos, and they didn't even have a quarterback on the roster. And you technically have a couple. You say it's easy, and your offensive coordinator was standing around doing nothing. And the reporter said, we watched him the whole game. Hold on. I'm sorry. He said we watched him the whole game. He was doing nothing. Listen, you can't make this up. You literally can't make this up. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dal was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
That question should be asked to every married person that comes in late. Yeah, I sat up and watched the clock all night. You didn't come home. Yeah, yes, I did. No, you didn't. I went to sleep, and you hadn't still made home. Yeah, what time did you look at the clock last? He said to him, yeah, what? He was doing nothing. He was calling the plays. No, he wasn't. This stuff is easy. Coach, you haven't won a game. Yeah, this stuff is easy. We already had it worked out. Wait a second. What time of the game was it? I don't know. Third quarter, maybe? Oh, yeah. I was going to help him out with the last 2 minutes. So you were calling the plays. This dude got caught in a lie again. Again. You were calling the plays, bro. It's okay. It's okay to say, I'm the head coach. I didn't like the way the game was going. I called the plays. Unless somewhere upstairs they told you stop calling plays and you went on Sarah Palin Road and figured you call your plays anyway. This guy is great. I'm telling you, part of me knows he has to get fired. I know he won't get fired before the season ends. But I hope he finds a job next year. I really do. Not because he's good, not because he'll succeed, not because he'll get to a team with a quarterback that he can actually whisper in that quarterback's ear and go back to being the quarterback whisperer, which he never was, and go back to being the offensive guru that he never was. But he gives you, in the sports business, we like to say content. He gives you content. But he doesn't just give you content. He gives you the absurdities of it all. That, in all honesty, was one of the funniest 38 seconds I've heard in my life without someone attempting to be funny. Because he legitimately believed in the bullcrap that he was pouring out. Or maybe he just figured he'd say it and let it fly. But the reporter that said the OC literally, they literally did the check and said, we've been watching the whole game. He was doing nothing. Classic and good. Wow. I'm keeping that down just so you know. Now, remind you, they scored the same amount of points as the Denver Broncos, who played a game without a quarterback, without a person that actually played quarterback, and they played with a top draft choice and allegedly their franchise QB, and they still managed to get only 3 points. This stuff is great, man. When it comes to the Jets, you can't make that stuff up. Well, look, we're coming down to the wire, so tomorrow we'll talk the Suns, we'll talk the Bears. We already let you know what happened with the Lions and the call that Lou made to it. A couple of things I definitely want to touch on before we get out of here. Like I said, time is coming quick. Sarah Fuller, you go girl. Great job. If you don't know who Sarah Fuller is, then too bad for you. She is a Vanderbilt soccer player. They ended up playing football, Division I, Power 5 conference football as a kicker. And if Vanderbilt's team didn't suck so bad, she possibly would have had an opportunity to kick an extra point and kick a field goal. But Vandy never made it across midfield because they are god-awful. I love the message she put on the back of her helmet, play like a girl. I think stuff like that is really cool. We should have more and more young ladies empowered to do what they want and not believe that something is just for one sex or another. If she can make the kicks, suit her up. All in. I'm all in on that. ASU Hoops will remain in the top 25. They did drop the 25 spot after a win and a loss last week. The loss was to Villanova. Was ranked number 3 at the time. So ASU is fine. They're young. And they are improving. And they have a lot of players. Once they figure out how to play well with each other, ASU is going to be a very dangerous team. And hats off to Bobby Hurley, who's recruiting his ass off. Last thing real quick. We got a minute left. Nate Robinson, go to the Instagram page, the Sports Cave, and watch Nate Robinson get knocked up out. He got his ass tore down by a YouTuber. They say NBA players don't ever want to fight. Hold me back. Now we see why. At Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with a K. Catch me on the Twitter at TLR on Sports. Adam Gase, man. That guy's killing me. Anyway, until tomorrow when we're back, I guess part B of the show. We'll do all that tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on the Cave Show with TLR. This is PLR. Everyone, have a good rest of your Monday. Tips, bring us home.